Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Wait a minute. That music can only mean one thing. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm back for 2024. That's the show.
That's it.
You downloaded it.
That's
you did
it.
This to yourself.
And I'm getting used to slowly fading music out as you start talking and as I start talking, which is very, believe it or not, it's hard to, it's not hard. It's just, it's a, you know, you got to listen to what you're saying, but you also got to listen to what else is happening at the same time.
We do no scripting for the intro of Apathetic Enthusiasm, but we are so glad that you're here. You're back.
So glad.
For the inaugural episode of 2024. We're back. It's been a long time. It's been quite some time. I always like to think about when we start an Apathetic Enthusiasm, the listener who for some reason enjoys listening to us, but has absolutely no interest in Rick and Morty. And we just disappear for like 4 months. And then all of a sudden we come back and here we are to talk about everything else that we've been doing for the last 4 months. Hello, everybody. My name's Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And welcome to the show. We have a great show for you today. As we always do. The last episode, we talked about football and Baldur's Gate. And guess what? Tonight, that's what I have to talk to you about is football and Baldur's Gate.
I looked back at one of the last episodes we did, and it was like, we were talking about the show Ahsoka.
Oh.
I was like, wow, I barely remember that show. I think all of the Ahsoka retail items are on clearance now at your local big box store. So that's how long it's been since we ran an Apathetic Enthusiasm. And yet the social media links remain the same.
Yeah.
That's right. You can follow us over. Okay. This isn't something we talked about. I have zero desire to pitch this first social media link in 2024.
You can go to X and follow us at Apathusiast.
Get caught in your throat at Apathusiast.
Uh-huh.
Almost as outdated is facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Send us an email, a fax. I don't know. We're a couple of boomers on this
fax
show. Send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We're on Instagram. Apathetic_enthusiasm. Go to apatheticenthusiasm.com. That's our website. Go to our YouTube if you want to see what we look like. You can watch video versions of our episodes over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You will see about 3 months worth of Rick and Morty content if you go out there. Just be warned. That's what you're going to find. And then
Over at Patreon. You can look at my lovely locks.
You can see how much more hair Brandon has than I do. We are getting more and more opposite every single day. And then finally, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Big shout out to all the patrons who continue to support all of our podcasting endeavors that are helping make this show possible. Thank you. We reward those that support us there with podcast post shows and bonus content. If you want to get any of that, you can go over to our Patreon. Brandon has just become an emo kid.
Yeah.
And aged out emo kid.
What you don't notice in the audio version is how my hair is now covering one lens of my glasses. And it's something you don't get to see every day, especially not if you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, go to YouTube. Do that. Anyway. Brandon, how the heck are you?
I'm done
with all of the intro stuff.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Now we can just talk. Bye, everybody.
Things are good. We haven't talked any Apathetic Enthusiasm stuff since like June, July, maybe
it was October. I think October 2nd was our last Apathetic Enthusiast.
Wow. Yeah. That is a long ass time ago. Things are good. We made it through the holidays. We made it through Thanksgiving. We made it through Christmas. We made it through New Year's, and now we are in 2024. There's so much for us to talk about on this episode that we really have no one thing to talk about. It's crazy.
Do you not have the show notes open? Do you not know? There's like eight different things.
100% I don't have the show. 100% I don't.
All right. Well, I have a new fascination. I have a new obsession 100%. That we will talk about at some point. But I want to know if you've watched any. Did you watch Leave the World Behind on Netflix?
No.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah, I know you didn't go see Wonka.
No.
Okay. Well, that's everything that I've updated in my letterbox since October 2nd. I know that's not true. What movies have you been watching? I know you're watching something. You out there watching Saltburns or something?
No, I didn't watch Saltburn yet. I do want to watch When Evil Lurks. It's on Shudder. It's a Spanish subtitled horror film that's supposedly really good. I did see Godzilla Minus One in theaters, so I can lay claim to that. I did watch Barbie. We did a Barbie episode back in the
I think we did a Barbenheimer type episode
because you watched
way back in 2023. And now it's been so long that it is award show season, and now both the Emmys, well, the Creative Media Emmys and the Golden Globes both happened last night.
Yeah.
Where movies like Oppenheimer, Barbie,
Godzilla sure Minus other, One.
Godzilla Minus One. What other movies were nominated? I'll be honest. I didn't watch
Flower Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
That was one.
And it's coming out on Apple TV tomorrow.
Oh, I saw it in theaters.
I didn't. I can watch it on Apple TV.
I saw it in theaters and true story.
No, it's not a true story.
Elderly woman, plus her heart. I think she defecated on herself in the film. In the theater.
Oh.
Like four seats away from us. And it is a traumatic thing that I will forever, unfortunately, associate with this film.
Creative Emmys, that happened. Golden Globes, that happened. I saw the Eagles and Steely Dan play. It's supposedly the Eagles' final tour.
They did a Hell Freezes Over tour over 20 years ago.
Well, that was them coming
that
back.
That was them coming back together.
Yeah, because Hell Froze Over. And they had a final tour before, but then they're like, no, we're doing a new final tour. And they were originally going to not do another tour, but Glenn Frey's son, Deacon Frey, started touring with them after Glenn Frey's death. And so they kept going because of the son. And but this is their final tour, so much so that they have Steely Dan opening up for them, which is the doesn't seem like those two mix, and they don't really, but God, I love both of those bands so much.
Yeah. I meant to ask you about how that concert was, but I figured we're going to talk about it on the podcast anyway.
Yeah.
Why not just do it while we record ourselves?
It was great. Don Henley, like I said, Deacon Frey, Joe Walsh is there. I want to talk about Joe Walsh here in a second. And then of course, Vince Gill is touring with him.
Vince Gill
is touring with the Eagles. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And Timothy B. Schmidt is their bass player and singer. Vince Gill, you know Vince Gill's name, don't you, Travis?
Yeah, he's a famous country artist from like the 90s.
Yes. Do you know any songs by Vince Gill?
There's a period in history where I would have been able to answer this question.
Okay, same here. But Chelsea and I, after the concert, were like, yeah, Vince Gill, that's crazy they have Vince Gill, right? Like, oh, he's a famous artist. And you go to Spotify or whatever.
And you know, like half his songs.
No, we knew zero of his songs. Zero.
I was like, I have to look right now.
I don't know.
I know Sheena could just start singing a Vince Gill song right now with unprompted.
And Chelsea and I, like, we know a lot of music and we're like, not one of these songs.
I think country in general is a blind spot for you guys. Like,
well, but like in the mid 90s, I hung out with my grandparents, my grandpa and grandma Bouchard, and they listened to a lot of country. And like at the Elks Lodge, they listened to country all the time. So that's why I know like Vince Gill. I know Garth Brooks and Brooks and Dunn, and all those country stars from the mid 90s.
Sure.
Why don't I recognize any of Vince Gill's songs? Anyway, while you're looking that up,
there's his greatest hits on his popular events on or popular songs on Spotify. Not sounded so familiar. But
I ask you to go check it out.
Ask you to go check it out.
Maybe call to action. Anybody try to
tell if us. You know a Vince Gill song, leave a comment.
Now what I'll say about Joe Walsh is, you know, he was in the James Gang before, and before he was in the Eagles, and he has Rocky Mountain Way, Life's Been Good, and he is so. It's so great. He makes the weirdest guitar faces ever, ever. But he sounds good. He's a fucking national treasure. He's so great. And I love seeing him. And then for the Rocky Mountain Way, he did like the vocoder, like where he's doing the solo with the voice tube. And that's so cool. And I lucked out and I found floor seats like 19 rows back from the stage, like super cheap. And I'm like, man, it was just so good. It was so good to be in that concert.
The closest this tour is getting to me is about 2.5 hours away. And there's still part of me that's just like, it might. I mean, how many times does a band like this have their last tour? Only 3 or 4 ever.
They're going to die. They're in there. We looked at
that is true. Everyone is going to die.
they're all like 76.
These guys may be faster than some of us.
They're all like in the 76, like 75, 76. Deacon Fry is 30 or something like that. So
to be the 30-year-old hanging around with everybody else.
I know. It's like hanging out with your grandparents, your great grandparents at that point in time. Although Glenn Frey was his dad. So whatever. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, so it's a great show. You had a great time. You sent me pictures from your amazing seats.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay. Let's not talk about me anymore. Let's talk about you told me to download a game because it's a type. It's not quite the real game. It's a digitized version, bastardization version of this trading card game that you and your son are playing and you won't fucking stop talking about.
I won't stop.
Tell me more about this.
I won't stop.
Tell me about Lorcana.
Lorcana. All right. So Lorcana is a trading card game that came out August of last year. As the resident Disney nerd on this podcast, I was very aware that it was coming out. I was relatively interested in it because it's basically like Magic the Gathering but with Disney characters on it, right? It's so as a game nerd, as a person that enjoys different types of games, that was really appealing. And then obviously the Disney aspect of it seemed cool, but the first run of the cards was like very limited, mostly went to like your local game stores and then like big box stores like Target and Walmart. Got very, very little inventory. So they were very hard to find. And I wasn't aggressively seeking these out. But as we're doing our holiday shopping in December,
mm-hmm.
Sheena and I go to Target. And there in like the collector's area, they had 2 starter decks for Lorcana. So these were 60 card decks where you could basically, it is everything you needed to start being able to play the game. So I got one of the starter decks for myself, one for my son. And I thought, this is a game that we can start playing together. Check it out. Learn more about it. So we both got a starter deck and we got like some booster packs. And so after Christmas, we started playing. And I once I figured out the game mechanic, I really enjoyed it. And my son did too. We played a few games, and that's when the problem started. Because then we're like, wow, this is cool. We should get some more cards. So we'd go out to the store, buy a couple more packs, you know. Oh, cool. We got this one. We got that one. And then I'm like, oh, well, now I have all these cards. I need a place to keep them. So I 3D printed a card box to keep the cards in.
Of course.
And then we are like, oh, let's go to this other store. Oh, there's a starter deck that we don't have. Well, I should probably get that one too. That way we can try different decks out. And then, you know, the money,
you're addicted.
The money just goes, right? But here's the other side of it right now. And if you're a parent and, you're playing games with your kids, you understand that there's a delicate balance where you want to play the game. You want to play well, but you don't want to play so well that you discourage your child into never wanting to play with you anymore, especially if it's a game that you enjoy. So the first three times we played the game, I beat him. I won the game. And I was worried that, like, oh no, he's going to think dad's going to beat me every time. I'm not going to want to play this. So the third or fourth time we played, I kind of pulled my punches a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
You gotta keep them interested, right? You don't want to get them discouraged too quickly. You know?
So here's what happened. I have to go back to work, right? Somebody's got to make the money to pay for these cards.
True.
So I go back to work, but I'm like, hey, you know, there's like YouTube videos and stuff for where you can like learn like more strategy and stuff. Because he loves watching YouTube. He's a teenager. And I come home and he beats me like three games straight. Like there's the one game where I'm like pulling my punches a little bit. And then I'm like, all right, let's play. Beats me again. And he beats me again. And I'm like, oh,
okay.
Now it's time for me to start, you know.
Now we got a game.
Yeah. But now we're at a point where he's like, no, I want to go outside and touch grass and play with my friends. And I'm like,
somebody play this game with me.
I need somebody to play this game with me. So there's two things, two areas that I am now dabbling into. The first is what you mentioned, a game called Pixelborn. So this is, from what I gather, think this was an online PvP like Magic the Gathering type game that somebody modified to work with the rules of Lorcana, and they put all the Lorcana cards in it. So you can go in, you can build your own decks. The beauty of it is you don't have to spend money on cards. So even if it's super rare, hard to get cards, you can still build whatever deck you want to play with.
Okay.
And then it's an online, you know, game where you can play casual matches or ranked matches and move up in the ranks, and it plays just like Lorcana. That's
okay.
Great.
Okay. Cool. Well, that sounds fun. Is it like a Magic the Gathering Pokemon type of play style? I mean, we don't have to get deep into it. Yeah.
So the game itself. Real simplistic, like, basis for it. You have, different types of cards. You have characters, obviously characters from different Disney animated, properties,
like a treasure planet.
You know, I just happen to have some cards right here, Brandon.
So yeah, like treasure planet. What is that?
There are treasure planet cards.
Secret of Mana.
Secret of Mana? You mean Secret of Nim?
No.
Even a Disney movie?
No. Secret of Mana, which is a Super NES game. Final Fantasy VII. Is Cloud
You got your cards here, right?
I mean, Cloud is a character in Kingdom Hearts. Do you have Kingdom Hearts characters in there?
No, it's just Disney cards, right?
Okay, so no Kingdom Hearts cards.
So this first card I got right here. I haven't played
Kingdom Hearts. Okay, sorry.
It's Cinderella, right? And so based on this, and this is not going to be great for the audio listener.
No.
But there's a value at the top.
Let me describe this.
You describe the card to me.
Because I don't want people
over Zoom.
I don't want people who can't see this to be able to not understand, right? Because you can explain it, Travis, but this is my reaction to the card. So let me
everything you feel about this. Okay. This card.
It's a standard looking
before
trading card
my arms get
game.
Too tired to
all right.
Like
in the top corner, there's a number 4. Cinderella is looking at a glowing orb. She's like, "Oh my god, there's a glowing orb!" Below her, that picture, there's a little bar. It says Cinderella. I can't read what it says that, but there's a 2 and a 5.
It says Cinderella, gentle but kind.
Oh, gentle but kind. Okay, and then underneath that is some skills that she has. It also says that she's a housemaid.
I don't think it says that at all.
But, yeah, it does. It does. You just can't see it because it's turned away from you. Anyways, there it is. There you go, audio listener.
There it is. That's Lurkana. That's basically
that's you
what you're trying to do.
You describe it to people.
It's not like Pokemon where you're trying to beat or like fight the other characters per se. The idea is you're trying to get this stuff called lore, and so you're questing to get 20 lore. The first person to 20 lore or 20 points wins the game. And so the way that you get lore is these little star looking kind of diamond symbols. That is if you quest with that character, that's how many lore you get with the character.
Oh, okay.
So what you're doing is you're playing characters, trying to quest for lore while you're also challenging your opponent's characters to remove them from the board. And then there's like items that can give you additional, attributes or things like that. There are actions that are like a single thing. You play the card and then it does something and then you get rid of it. And then there are songs. So like with the Cinderella, right?
Oh, give me a break.
She can sing a song, right? And the songs have different abilities. So you can use a character to sing a song or you can... But I do want to point out one thing on these
Give
cards.
Give me
right?
a break.
You're like, songs? I don't want to hear about this, right? So here we have a lantern, right? And you'll notice up in the corner, there's not that like same symbol as the Cinderella, how it's, I'm trying to do this backwards. That symbol around Cinderella's 4 means that it's an inkable card. So there like is a large number of cards that are inkable, which means you can just put it face down in your inkwell once per turn, and that is your mana pool, so to speak, right? So I really like that aspect of it, the fact that there are a lot of cards that you can use as your like resource. I'm nerding out about it big time.
I like Incubus too. They're not my favorite band, but I'm glad that they have some cards in there for,
I listened to a lot of Incubus
Lurkana
in the late 90s, early aughts.
No, Incubus isn't bad, but I have a tattoo that says "Wish You Were Here" on my arm, and
people think it's an Incubus tattoo.
People thought it was an Incubus tattoo for the longest time. And it was very frustrating. That's cool. Trading card games are I'm interested in them, but not interested enough to play them because it requires a lot of collecting, a lot of money, a lot of like my son having to be around and interested in what I want to do and what we want to do. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think that's where this game like hits me right in the wallet, right? Is because Magic the Gathering, same thing, right? It's a good game. It's balanced game possibly, but you have to buy a lot of cards. There's a lot of collecting to it. And for me, those cards, I could care less about them. The things on the cards, the stuff, like for me collecting those cards at just to collect them, I'm like, eh, yeah, not interested. Pokemon, another fun game. I've played it, play with my son all the time. Collecting Pokemon cards for the cards, again, not interesting at all to me. No hate on anybody that loves them. Yu-Gi-Oh, anything else, whatever you like, go after it.
You go Yu-Gi-Oh, anything else. That's all the worse I am.
Strictly from a collecting standpoint, I like these cards. I do. And so that is a problem for me. That is something that we're working on. Pixelborn is helping that. Well, the other thing that I'm considering doing this week for the first time in my life is going to a local card and or game store on a dedicated night when people go there to play Lorcana and an attempt to be social and go play with some complete strangers.
Oh my God. What is happening to you?
Yeah.
What has Lorcana done to you?
New year, new me, Brandon.
Unless
I can get you to download Pixelborn. That's the only other option.
Probably not going to happen. But I do want to say this. You know, Sheena has pillows. You have Lorcana. It's fine, right?
This is exactly. I figure the average Starbucks beverage is about the cost of one booster pack. So. And these aren't gone in a couple hours. Still have them.
That's true. Chelsea was like, maybe we can cancel one of our subscription services to save some money. I was like, okay, which one? Then we went through them. I was like, we're using your parents. We're using my parents. We're using my brother. We're using the, like, this one's ours, but we use that one all the time. Like,
but half of our family is using that one.
Yeah. Like, it's like, so like, how much are we really going to save a month with canceling one service, like $20? Like, well, if you can suggest any other ways to save money, I'm like, yeah, like stop smoking and drinking. Okay, so which service do we get rid of?
So which service? Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So anyway, Lorcana is super fun. This is a call to action to any apathetic enthusiasm listeners. If you play Lorcana, if you know someone that plays Lorcana, give us a shout. Hit us up at @JuggleMino on all your favorite social media networks.
Except X. So talking about playing games with your son, right? So Christmas, I have two different games with the son stories to tell. One is the first one is Christmas. My older brother got my older brother Tim got my son into Dig Dug. And so at old Dave and Buster's, they have one of those like Make-A-Wish Foundation, like you actually put real money into it, like a quarter or whatever, and then you can play a classic arcade game like Dig Dug. And so we went there a Christmas and a half ago with my older brother, and he's like,
what's a half Christmas?
Maybe like last year's Christmas.
You in the summer? Did you go in the summer?
I don't know. You know, I'm not a calendar mathematician. So he got him into Dig Dug, and so his fascination now has been with like, I want a Dig Dug. And then he saw one of those 1-Up arcade machines at Costco that had Dig Dug on it. He's like, I want that. And he's been like nonstop. Well, there is a Dig Dug specialized arcade 1-Up that has the Dig Dug art on the sign. So we got him that for Christmas. And it's got Pac-Man, it's got a couple different Galaga games on there. And Dig Dug 2. Now, here's where the story kicks in. He was so happy to have it. It's like, oh, it's so great. He's playing it. And I thought it'd be fun, right? Not to make a challenge of it. Like, I wasn't trying to challenge him as like, I'm better than you, but to like have a fun thing, like to keep him interested in playing the game. Like, because I don't want him to like just let it sit there and then like never use it again once Christmas passes. So I'm like, yeah.
Like the Dig Dug arcade game is cool to have, but I'm still going to play Xbox.
Yeah, I'm done with it. I'm going to watch iPad. So I wanted to do the thing where like, okay, let's keep interest in it. Let's do like a daily, like see who gets the high score daily. Like I'll only do it three times. I'll only do like try three times and that's the high score. He'll try it however many times he wants, as long as he, you know, whatever. And I had a little whiteboard on the side And so he has currently he has the high score for Dig Dug on the machine. I let him have it. I'm letting him keep it. And but the high score of the day is a different thing, right? And like dad and his name, and then like, oh, he beat me. He beat me the first day. And then the second day, I played it a couple times. I got the high score. And then he tried a couple times and couldn't beat me and was frustrated and then got really mad about it. And then he was like, I don't like that this is a competition. And I'm like, I'm not trying to make it a competition. I'm not trying to make you upset. I'm just trying to be a father-son type thing, like a bonding.
Yeah.
But it tore him up. So we've since then stopped doing the high score a day challenge. He still has a high score in Dig Dug. But Dig Dug 2, no, that's mine. All the way. Love Dig Dug 2.
That's my domain. I am the leader here.
Also Galaga. So that's the first story. The arcade machine is fun.
The arcade one-up machine. How do you feel about that? Having it for a couple weeks? Because I think it's every millennial's dream, millennial male's dream, to have like a full arcade cabinet in their house. Like it's like a status symbol or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I think they seem cool. I think they are like a measure towards having like an arcade cabinet. But yeah. Like, are you enjoying the functionality and how it works and things like that?
Yeah, I do. I think that. So for example, I was Saturday night, the kid and Chelsea went to bed and I'm like, I want to stay up and get the high score in Galaga. And so it's like midnight.
You pull your stool over, you got your, uh-huh. your little holster with the quarters.
I've got a table right next to it. I got a stool there. It's got a little headphone jack there. So like. All you hear is you don't hear all of a sudden the sound. And I'm like sitting there with like a drink, like, till like 1 a.m. So like it's cool to have.
Chelsea comes over and puts her quarter on the machine. It's like, I got next.
No, that's mine. You died. It's my turn. So I think that's really, really cool. And I would love to, you know, Chelsea and I have talked about always wanting like arcades, like that'd be so cool. To like eventually clear out my garage, collect them over time, right? And those one-up arcade machines are fairly affordable, right? So because technology is so far that you can pack so many games on the smallest USB, it would not be super difficult to buy just a prefabbed arcade cabinet, get a Raspberry Pi or whatever, and then there you go. You've got an arcade machine. For my brother, my younger brother Brett's bachelor party, took him to like an arcade bar, and that's all it was just a bunch of emulated video game cabinets where you can select what games you wanted to play.
I already have a Raspberry Pi with game emulators on it. Yeah. So like I'm halfway there. I just need a lot of like particle board and artwork and buttons, like physical buttons.
In so, time, like you did the Super Mario cutouts for your Christmas stuff, right? You are good enough with woodworking that you could create an arcade cabinet easily.
Yeah, it's one of those things that is like, it's like a goal. It's like a thing that I'm always like, I think I could make a custom cabinet. Like, I think it's possible. Yeah. The plans are all over the internet to do it.
Yep.
That would actually be a fun project to do with my son.
Yeah. I might buy all the equipment so I can do some woodworking to make some custom cabinets.
Uh-oh. Get out of here, Lorcana cards. We got a new obsession.
Okay, so the arcade stuff aside, spending time with him playing that. Now, one of the last episodes we did way back in the day was talking about Baldur's Gate and football. When we talked about Baldur's Gate, it was talking about cross play and multiplayer aspects of it in the D&D portion of it. Well, it finally released on Xbox. but it doesn't have cross-platform multiplayer. It only has a split screen on the Xbox itself. And so, like, sorry, John. Sorry, Travis. I want to play with a kid because he likes D&D. He wants to play D&D. Yeah. I'm like, you want to play this? He's like, sure. And so we've been playing a lot of that lately where he's like tonight before we started recording, he's like, you have to record? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to record. He's like, oh, because I wanted to play some more Baldur's Gate. And I'm like, yeah, no, I do too. I want Travis to shut up for a second so I can go play Baldur's Gate with you. But Travis is so needy.
That's our episode, everybody. Thanks for coming.
But it's so fun. The split screen is kind of distracting because it's on one system and it has to decide which character wants to do the cutscene with people. And so it depends on who talks to the character first. But for the most part, it's pretty cool. He's playing a wizard and his companion. He gets a companion. A companion is some orc warrior chick. I'm a warlock, and I have the paladin that's following me. And so it's really cool. I got Eldritch Blast now. I'm just like, gah! And like, oh, they're dead now. Great, cool, moving on. it's fun. It's fun. And like, because it's D&D based, like I can, when he gets frustrated with like, why did I miss that? Or why did you miss that? I can say, because your armor class is 12. He's like, what does that mean? Well, you like in D&D, you have a D20. You first roll to see if you hit. And so it has to meet or beat 12. And so if it meets or beat 12, then they roll for damage. It's like, okay. I'm like, so your armor class is 12 and that character rolled higher than a 12. And so then they attacked you. So because I got my character's armor class up to 18 for the paladin. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what does that mean? And so I explained the D20 stuff.
How far are you?
We're in act two now.
Okay.
But some of the puzzles, like we get bored, not bored, but like, you know, he's 12. So
yeah,
I don't have as much time or patience to like figure out like, what am I supposed to go next? I just look it up. I'm like, fuck it. Let's go that way.
Fair enough.
And, so we're in act two, we skipped some stuff. You haven't beaten it yet.
No, and that's because Baldur's Gate is the first game that I've played on this computer that I'm currently podcasting on. That's made me think, I think I need to upgrade my computer. It's having a real hard time running on my system right now. And I don't know if that's because the game is that good or if something's that wrong with my computer. Mm. So I think I got into Act 2, well into Act 2.
Okay.
But now it is such a just straight up potato when I try to play it, like T poses and glitches and stuff. And I'm just like, I would love to keep playing it, but it is frustrating to load the game to the point where I'm like, I would maybe get this on console or something.
Yeah. So what I'll say about where we are in Act 2, in Act 2, you can either go through like the Underdark or you can go through the Mountain Pass. Well, if you take the Mountain Pass, which is what we did, which is supposedly harder, you go through this like Shadowlands area where there's like a Shadowlands curse where you have to have light. Well,
yeah, I'm in that area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you get to a certain point where like you can have a torch, but if you get to a certain area, it's so the curse is so bad that the torch doesn't work and you need a moon lantern. Well,
yep.
Here's what we did. We were like, once you get into like the where you need a moon lantern and we didn't have one and I couldn't be bothered to find one, it's like, let's just see how far we can get in this shadow curse without and skip it all. So we went turn based and we just dashed the hell out of it. got all the way to where we needed to go to the Moonrise Towers, like by the skin of our teeth. And like I had like a superior healing potion for my character that saved him, made it into, and we missed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to guess so. Because I have not gone to Moon River. Did you go to like the inn?
No, we skipped all of it, dude. We skipped all of it.
There is a lot of story. So here's the thing is, because there's a period of time where there were like everybody at work was talking about Baldur's Gate. It's the reason that I got the game is because like everybody's talking about it. I love D&D. Like this is a way to play D&D because my friends don't want to hang out with me anymore. And they hang out with their kids and play Baldur's Gate or whatever. I get it. But anyway, I was like, yeah, I'm going to try this. And then people at work would be like, all right, well, how far are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm at this like goblin castle thing. Goblin. And they're like, you're where? What are you doing? And I'm like, you've had the game 2 weeks longer than me. Like, you're definitely there. Like, I have not gotten there yet. I'm like, I got there in my first play session. Like, you must be going real fast. And I was like, am I? And so then I like restarted the game because for some reason, I think I was playing too fast and like I was getting beat up all the time because
you hadn't leveled up.
I wasn't leveling up. Like I was. And so then I was like, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to explore more. And there's still somebody at work that's like, I am barely in act two. And I'm like, it's been like 3 months. Like, what are you doing in this game? Like, I stopped playing and I'm farther than you.
Yeah. I mean, I've explored basically all of that area. And I'm like, there's nothing left for me in this area. We're moving.
Yeah. I think you can. I think there are layers to the game where you can like dig deeper and do some more things if you take your time with it. There are times interactions with characters that I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I move on. And apparently if you keep talking to them or you do something else, it unlocks a whole other like storyline or, you know, side quest or things like that. And yeah, it sounds like you're doing even less of that than I did. So good luck to you.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate. You can get there.
We did put it on easy. Cause I was like, oh, whatever. You can't multi-class in easy. But it's fine. Yeah. I think the thing is especially when you're playing with a 12-year-old, and really, honestly, if you're playing with somebody else, you don't know what that other person's tolerance for dialogue is, right? So, like, I could sit there and listen to a guy. Well, no, actually, I take that back. I read faster than the character speaks. So I'm like, okay, okay, click, okay, click. Okay. But I don't want to ruin that experience for someone I'm playing with. So, you know, like, there's a wizard Gale who mess with the goddess Mystra, and one of his friends comes and finds him eventually and is like, oh Gale, oh booger booger, booger.
Just the most classic idea of a wizard,
precocious a being of blah blah blah, blah. I'm like, come on. Come on, I just want to level up, damn it. So we're level 5 anyway, all that said, almost level 6.
All right. At some point I'll completely restart everything on my computer or something and wipe off every piece of podcast art I've ever made. and maybe the game will run again. Who knows? We'll see.
Who knows? All right. Well, enough about me and my kids and stuff like that. What else we got? So over the holidays, Meta, some of you know as Facebook previously, the company Meta, you know, AI is all the rage. It's all
the kids are doing it these days.
Mid-Journey, all the rage. ChatGPT now has AI art that you can do. Well, in Facebook Messenger, you can actually now talk to Meta's AI, and you can ask it questions. I had a conversation with it, and it was like, I'm not going to answer that question because it's offensive. I'm like, okay, all right, Meta. But you can also ask it to make pictures for you now, to mixed effects. And
Indeed.
Indeed. So that's something you could do now. Travis, I think we both wanted to kind of talk about this.
Yeah. So in any conversation thread that you're having with your friends, you can at Meta AI and then / imagine and then give some sort of prompt, right? Some sort of anything that you'd like it to imagine. And the Meta AI will do its best to generate an image. I don't know how long you played with this before you started sending me AI images, but as soon as I realized what you were doing, that's pretty much all we did for the rest of the day, was just sending each other AI generated images. So as an example, Brandon just typed into our Facebook Messenger, imagine two guys podcasting over Zoom. And this is another reason to check out the video version of this podcast. Here is the image that was generated. It's two guys with headphones on, both far more attractive than Brandon and myself. Oddly enough, both with facial hair. But yeah, they're just two guys. I think that's maybe a microphone like above them. It also kind of looks like one might be wearing like a space helmet. I don't know. I don't know if that's just a glare. I don't know what's happening there. But that was an image that was just created on the fly by Meta AI.
Yeah, and thanks Meta AI.
you can make adjustments as you talk to Meta AI. You can tell it to refine images. Brandon just said, imagine two guys talking to each other on Zoom from different houses doing a podcast. So that's a lot of qualifiers. It's two people on Zoom talking to each other from different houses doing a podcast.
Now,
Travis, that's just too much to think about. Travis, that's just too much, Brandon.
Travis, before you go any further, zoom in. So these guys are looking at their podcasting. They're got Zoom window open. Zoom in on that Zoom. It is nightmare fuel.
It is horrifying. It doesn't quite look like Zoom. It looks a little bit like Premiere Pro. Uh-huh. If it was Blumhouse production or something.
It looks like they're talking to Skeletor a little yeah. bit.
There's some really weird like AI generated soundproofing on the back wall.
Oh yeah.
The microphone boom situation might be defying gravity. There's something that's either a computer mouse or a portable hard drive maybe in front of one of them. And then their back shelf has like books and weird like decorations.
It looks like there's
which
like a
oddly enough is very much like the backgrounds of our podcast look like. Again, an AI, but like these images are, oh, you zoomed in specifically on the Skeletor. Yeah, that's nightmarish. That's terrible. We experimented a lot with this. We experimented with like specific characters. I started using Mickey Mouse a bunch, and then we tried Donald Duck, and for some reason it could not produce an image of Donald Duck by name. Uh-huh. But then if you said cartoon duck, it defaulted to a duck that looked almost exactly like Donald Duck.
Yeah. And if you say cartoon duck wearing sailor's clothes, then it's like, oh, there he is. There he is.
That's pretty much Donald. You got it, Meta. You figured it out. Last night during the Buffalo Bills Miami Dolphins football game, I was generating images of buffaloes and dolphins in different forms of competition. Flying buffaloes are pretty not to reopen that wound when it's so fresh, Brandon. But
no, that's okay.
But I had some fun doing that.
It's okay. You're a Chargers fan. You know how it is.
Oh yeah, no, I have it much worse than you. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the thing about like finding those workarounds for images, because I think like even with like Midjourney, it doesn't like doing things where it's like violent or bloody or anything like that. So you, there are ways to work around it where you, you know, like draw a medieval warrior fighting against an orc with ketchup spurting from its neck, you know, and be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's, that makes sense.
Yeah, that seems perfectly fine.
I'm fine with that. Not violent at all.
What?
It's ketchup.
I think I had just finished like a run the other day and I was gonna like send you an AI generated image of like a runner melting into a puddle or something because that was how I was feeling, and it was like, yeah, no, I'm not gonna make that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. You know, congratulations on the run. You know, you should be happy for the runners. You shouldn't be melting them into a puddle. Yeah.
Don't melt them. So one thing is if you don't have any real world friends or you don't want to just clutter up your conversations with your friends, you can message Meta AI directly.
Oh, yeah.
So I just have a Meta AI conversation that is just me generating tons of random images that I will occasionally forward to other people on Facebook Messenger. Yeah.
Do you have you messed around with the AI bot in Meta yet?
I haven't. Yeah. No, that's not a thing I've done yet.
Okay.
I've been too busy on Pixelborn.
So here's the other thing. So there are Meta AI bots now that you can chat with. And they have personalities. So there's a personality that will do like a D&D type of fantasy thing with you. There's also like a grandpa that will have a conversation with you. There's like your quirky fun friend to talk to. But they have avatars that look like real people. And so they will react to you as you're talking to them, asking them questions and stuff like that. So part of this is feels like it's infringement of some kind because these AI bots look like famous actors or famous people. For example, the D&D, one of the D&D people looks like Snoop Dogg, very clearly like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, no, a lot of the Meta AI like conversation like look like straight up celebrities. Like mm-hmm. I feel like they had to have agreed, like had some sort of partnership agreement with these actual celebrities.
It feels like they should have had
at the very.
Yeah. And then when you ask them a question or you say something to them, their avatar moves and is like reacting. It's like, Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, hey, I want to ask, what is the square root of 24? And he'd be like, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what it is. Sorry. I don't think that, whatever the square root is. Like his avatar is like, well, I don't know if there's a square root. But he doesn't say that, but like that's what his face is saying as the response comes out. It's weird.
Seems real weird.
Yeah.
Seems real weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I showed a couple of people at work last week. Like the day after we were messing with the image generator, I showed a couple of them things that I had been making, and that took off like wildfire in my office. People were generating all sorts of images and sending them to each other. So, it's fun. Obviously, disclaimer: anything that you do on the internet that's free probably means the company is using that information for profit. So as we continue to just feed prompts to, large language models or image generators, obviously we don't own any of that. And the companies are using that to refine their own systems. We are the guinea pigs. Just embrace the hamster wheel.
That's right.
And get your cardio in.
while we're talking, I'm trying to get Midjourney bot to respond to me because Midjourney goes through Discord, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was the first thing that people told me is, oh, they're like, is it just like Midjourney and Discord? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't tried it in Discord. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems so. Like I was like, one of my buddy who told me about Midjourney. I'm like, really? It goes through Discord? Like, yeah, that's how it works. Like, oh. It is better. It is better than Meta AI. Like in the prompts that you give it make way more, like you can edit it and like be like, okay, let's try that again. Here's what you need to add. Here's what takeaways, that type of stuff. So it's a little bit more not intuitive, but to get after it. So
yeah, like it's more responsive sort of than like, I don't know. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
I've played with the AI tools in Photoshop. And it's pretty good, but again, there's limits to it. And sometimes the thing that you're picturing in your head, isn't exactly what comes out, but it gets close.
Yeah.
There's a lot of concern online right now of like large companies like Disney, which we mentioned earlier, using AI generated art, in more of their productions. Recently, there's some people that think that some of the new merchandise that they're selling in like Disney parks, some of that artwork may have been AI generated. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of weird. And is kind of the area where it's like, how much is it cool that we have these tools when we want to send funny images to our friends? And when do we cross the line by using that to sell products and make money and not pay artists and people that, you know, do that sort of thing?
Yeah. You know, what's kind of, going back to the football thing real quick, one of my least favorite trends nowadays, and you probably noticed this on your Chargers fan page or whatever, is the overwhelming amount of AI art for those things. It's annoying to me. It's annoying to me because like the jersey will say like maybe like 31 and their shoulder will be like a discombobulated version of a zero. And just like the art all over the place is messed up. I'm like, stop doing this. I don't want to see this anymore.
The problem is this is the start. This is the beginning. It's gonna get better. It's gonna get dangerously better. Like,
yeah.
Very, like, before we know it. So, yeah, it's weird. It's weird to think that when we were kids, when we were growing up, like, someone having a photo of it was proof that it existed, right? Like, oh yeah, obviously there's been doctored photos since the invention of the camera, but like having photographic evidence or video evidence was like convincing.
Yeah.
And we are getting into a period where it's going to be like, yeah, there's you're not going to be able to trust any photo. Like, and I mean, we've had Photoshop, we've had all these things, but like it's going to be so easy to generate very realistic, very made up stuff.
Yeah. And
crazy.
And video too, right? The video is what is really going to get people, because Photoshop has been around a while, but like the quickness of being able to doctor sound, audio, and images video wise is pretty, it's impressive. I won't say it's scary, but like, well, I think what's scary isn't the technology, it's how dumb people are and how gullible people are. Like it takes a certain level of critical thinking to be like, is the thing that I'm watching real or not? Instead of just saying, this is real, this is wrong. It's why The Onion was a thing. It's why the National Enquirer was a thing. People just like, oh, look at that Bat Boy. He's coming
it's
to take
real.
He's going to take his
lives,
revenge.
He lives in the sewers of New York City. I don't want to
let too much time go by without honoring your Midjourney bot, Skeletor, leading a Zoom call about the company's success in defeating He-Man. Four images generated. I think the upper right might be my favorite, where he's got his skeletal finger like put up, like as he sits at like a little laptop, like looking thing. some real great work there, Midjourney. Yeah, well done.
Thanks, Midjourney. All right. Well, Travis, you know, we've been talking a long time. This is our first episode back. Now we're at an hour long. I think we're probably good for today's episode. But is there any closing comments you want to add?
No, I mean, it's great to be back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. If you're listening to this, that means most likely you're subscribed. So thank you for continuing to support our podcast. We've been doing this a long time, and we're coming up on almost a decade of podcasting. So, are we past a decade? We're
no,
close.
Not 2015.
Yeah. Almost 10 years. So, just thanks to everybody for listening. And, we'll be back next time with more content, more shenanigans, as Brandon super glues his lips together. thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye everybody. Bye.
If you'd like to get a live recording of this podcast, send an email. apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.